Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this sixth day of July 2026. Before I introduce to you my guest and co-host and our topic of the day, I want to let you know that the two-day debate that we recently had on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio between Nazarene pastor Jared K. Henry and Reformed Baptist pastor Jeremiah Nortier on the theme, "Can Truly Born-Again Believers Lose Their Salvation?" A debate during which the Nazarene pastor affirmed that proposition, that true believers can lose their salvation. And the Calvinist or Reformed Baptist pastor involved in the debate, Jeremiah Nortier, denied or opposed that thesis. That two-day debate, or two-part debate, is now available not only in an audio form on ironsharpensironradio.com, but it is also available now in a video format that you can watch on YouTube. Just type in the search engine on YouTube, Jeremiah Nortier versus Jared K. Henry on losing salvation. That should be good enough to get you to that video. So I just thought I'd let you know it was I think, a well-done debate. Both men were respectful and handled the issues very well. And I hope that you tune in and listen to it and spread the word, spread the links for that debate to those whom you know and love, especially those perhaps that you know who believe a true believer can indeed lose their salvation. If you want to lovingly correct them on that, I think that the two-day debate that I had on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will be an excellent tool to point them to the truth of the matter. Well, today we have a returning guest. I am delighted to have back on the program. His name is Russell Threet. He is professor of biblical counseling and dean of the counseling certificate program at Forge Theological Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina, and he's going to be addressing today the theme of one of his books, Pastor, You Must Be a Counselor, Restoring Counseling to the Heart of Pastoral Ministry. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Russell Threet.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'm glad to be back with you guys.
And we also have joining me as a special co-host today, the man who actually introduced me to Russell and urged me to invite him on the program. His name is a pastor, Jason Contino, who by now should be no stranger to our audience. He's been on the program a number of times. He is pastor of Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York. And thank you for joining me as my special co-host today, Pastor Jason.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, first, going back to Russell, please tell us about Forge Theological Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina.
Forge, while Columbia, South Carolina is where it's kind of listed as headquartered, it's kind of headquartered everywhere. Forge is a fully online seminary. And I would say this about Forge. I think Forge is the answer to a problem that a lot of ministers have had in looking for further education. It is a thoroughly academic institution, solid. It's broadly reformed in nature. There's all of the professors there. They affirm several different things, but either the Westminster Confession or the 1689 London Baptist Confession. But what Forge has going for it is they have a fantastic faculty, as well as good course content, good degree programs. But what they also have is affordability for such a high quality education at a level that I'm not familiar with anywhere else. They're set up like a subscription service, and depending on what degree level you're at, I think the way it works is it's somewhere between $70 and $85 per month as a subscription service, and you just pay that until you finish your program and withdraw. And so Forge is wonderful as far as an educational opportunity for pastors out there at an affordable cost.
And now tell us about West Park Baptist Church in Ozark, Arkansas, where you serve as senior pastor.
West Park's is a great church over here in Western Arkansas. I've been here almost 4 years. We're just what I would call a good old Baptist church. We preach the truth. I preach expositorily. Still have three services a week. Do outreach in the community. We have, for a smaller church, we have a pretty large ministry footprint. We're planting a church about 40 miles down the road from us. Just got started in that process. That's going now. We have other things that we're connected to and involved in. Love our church. Great folks. We've had some good ministry in the last few weeks in particular. We went to church camp and had one of our adult sponsors who had been a regular visitor at our church who had a Catholic background that came to Christ while we were at church camp. And so that was wonderful.
And how would you describe your congregation theologically?
Our congregation is part of the Baptist Missionary Association of America. And so we affirm the BMA's doctrinal statement as well as the New Hampshire Confession as kind of our foundational doctrinal beliefs, kind of summarizing the way we believe. I'm very much in the stream of Calvinistic Baptist. I don't go as far to call myself just highly reformed, but overall, just we're a Bible preaching church. We're a Baptist church at our heart. Like I said, the New Hampshire Confession pretty well encompasses where we're at on things.
Great. Well, if anybody wants more details on the Forge Theological Seminary, go to forge.education, forge.education. And for more details on the church where my guest is senior pastor, West Park Baptist Church of Ozark, Arkansas, go to westparkozark.org, westparkozark.org. And now, Pastor Jason Contino, tell our listeners about Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island.
Yep, we are a non-denominational Christian church in the Reformed Baptist tradition, hold to the First London Baptist Confession of Faith from 1646, and we just embrace the new covenant as the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan and seek to glorify him by living in the grace and truth of Jesus Christ, pointing people to him every step of the way. Preach expositionally, as does Dr. Russell Threet.
And it was a joy to get a tour from you and your lovely wife recently when I was visiting Long Island. And the Lord has blessed you with this beautiful building. This church dates back to the 19th century, and it was very cool to explore that building with you. Hopefully one of these days they'll get out there for an actual worship service.
Yeah, I'll have to wrestle you away from the guys at Hope Reformed Baptist Church. Maybe you can stay at my house. I'll just kidnap you and drive you to Hope.
Well, if anybody wants to know more about Harborview Christian Church at Port Jefferson, Long Island, go to harborviewchristian.church. Harborviewchristian.church. Well, we have a very interesting theme today. The theme actually may raise the ire of some pastors who are listening. The title of the book appears to be an admonishment or even a rebuke to pastors who are not counselors or conducting counseling. The theme, again, the title of the book, Pastor, You Must Be a Counselor, Restoring Counseling to the Heart of Pastoral Ministry. I can remember a dear friend of mine who is now in heaven, a Calvinistic Baptist pastor on Long Island, who is also a New Covenant theologian. I can remember him saying to me years ago in a voice of complaint, we don't have counseling here. We just let the preached word do the counseling. That should be enough. When we open up the word of God from the behind the pulpit, if you're there listening, that should be counseling enough. Obviously, you would disagree with that approach, Russell. And I disagreed with it myself, even though he was a dear friend who I love deeply. Tell us about your motivation for writing this book. Why did you find this book to be in need, even though there are scores of books on biblical counseling available? Why the need for this? What compelled you to write it?
Well, I think the big thing is that though biblical counseling, which I'm a practitioner of, I'm a professor of, trained biblical counselors, is on the rise and has been for decades now, I still see a lot of pastors in a situation that I think was sort of defined in the generations that have gone before them. We've seen churches and pastors themselves kind of redefine the role of a pastor. We expect them to preach and administrate and lead and oversee programs. But when it gets particular, you know, someone struggling with sin, marriage issues, addiction, anxiety issues, whatever it is, we've been taught, even at the seminary and Bible college level, to kind of send them off somewhere else. And I wanted to call pastors back to really the functional role of shepherding. If you're going to actually shepherd people, you have to go, hey, I believe in preaching. I'm a preacher and I believe in preaching. But I would say that pastoral shepherding, biblical counseling, whatever you want to call it, done right, is simply in the private setting what preaching is in the public.
Amen. Amen. And tell us why people have to be very cautious about going to a self-professed counselor who happens to be a professed Christian. They may or may not be a pastor, an elder. They may exclusively be a counselor. But there are a host of different ideologies involved when it comes to counseling, some of which are at great odds with one another. So what are perhaps the warning signs, in your opinion, as to why someone should either hesitate seeking counseling from an individual or even be more than hesitant, avoid it altogether?
Well, now, I'll be very upfront here. I am a convicted biblical counselor. I believe in the biblical nouthetic approach from top to bottom. And there are a lot of biblical counselors that just throw lots of rocks at psychology, and they spend all their time doing that. I'll try not to do that, but I would say this. I believe that the psychological world in general, on the secular side, is man's best answer to the problems of life apart from God. Most of those models and the men who founded them operate from a strictly atheistic standpoint in the development of the different psychological models. That's just historical fact. And those, and I have great friends who are what we would call integrative or Christian counselors, who are psychologists, who are Christian. I think they're faithful brothers and sisters, most of them. But I think that there is a fundamental problem with most of the psychological models out there in that they run counter to scripture in so many places that I don't see how you can apply a consistent biblical worldview in using. I have no problem with someone dealing with a lay counselor. I train lay counselors. But I think primarily the best situation is when people within the life of their own local church are able to receive solid biblical counsel. Now, I talk out of both sides of my mouth because I counsel people that are not members of my particular local congregation, but I do my very best to involve their pastors and elders as much as is possible, and obviously with the permission of the one being counseled. So that, because my goal is not to keep somebody for the long term, my goal is to turn them back into the regular ministry and support of the local church, because I think that's where the majority of their growth and even healing is going to take place. But overall, I think you've got to be very wary, if you're a solid Bible-believing Christian, of a system that at its heart runs counter to the revealed Word of God.
In fact, Pastor Jason Contino, what were the compelling reasons that you actually sought out to be trained as a counselor at Forge Theological Seminary?
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, I was looking at the electives and finishing up my master's degree, and I saw that the classes that I need were the exact same amount of credits that I would have needed for my certificate in biblical counseling. And I said, what could be more valuable for my sheep? Now, I come from my secular life. I was both a nurse and a police officer, police detective. So I have a lot of experience in dealing with both people who have mental illnesses and dealing with professionals. And I finished up my career, as you know, Chris, Special Victims Child Exploitation Section, working with wonderful people in both social work and psychology, in trying to help young people who, as my biblical worldview grew, and I was an elder and I was considering going into ministry, and here I am as a detective, and for the first time in my career, I had people who had injured souls. They didn't have a bicycle stolen or a house burglarized, but they have been affected in a way through the victimization. They had been affected in a way that I said there must be something more. And I started to see that the Bible is all sufficient. It's a distinctive that I hold to, and now as a pastor that I hold to. And so one thing led into another. And as I took the biblical counseling classes, after being a pastor for 5 years now, I started to see that this is something that I think all pastors would do well to realize that this is this is what we all need. We all need to recognize, as I think in Russell in your book says, as a pastor, you have no problem standing in front of your congregation, opening up God's word, saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and speaking to 50 people, 100 people, 500 people, depending on the size of your church. And then Monday or Tuesday morning, somebody comes into your office with a pointed problem, and you're going to reach into your drawer and have, give them a card of someone and say, go speak to this person now. I can no longer help you. And you're going to put them into the lap of somebody who might be Hindu or Jewish or Buddhist or atheist or Muslim. It makes no sense. If we believe that this is God's all-sufficient word, then is it sufficient for everything or not?
And do you have a question for Russell, your former professor?
My question for Russell would be, what I learned in my career was that as we try not to demonize these professionals, and so oftentimes such well-meaning, and they do valuable work in these lines of work that they're in. Russell, how do you make sure that you, sometimes their diagnosis or their view of something is something that can be very helpful to us. Could you expound on that perhaps?
Yeah. So one of the things where, I think we can, somebody comes to my office and they come in and they have a particular issue that they're dealing with, situation, and they come in and they say, I've been diagnosed bipolar with depression or fill in the blank, whatever other diagnosis. So, I've done some online work with veterans and first responders. And, most of those folks come in saying, I've been diagnosed with PTSD. What do I do with that? Well, what I don't do is allow that to become the get out of jail free card for everything that they're dealing with. What it does for me is, I would say, twofold. Number one, it gives me some information, because I am familiar enough with, the diagnosis that people receive. And in fact, I have some books from a biblical counseling standpoint that will say, if someone's diagnosed this, then the DSM says this is something that they observe, right? And so I understand what a professional counselor might have seen in order to give them that label. That gives me information. But what it also does, as a biblical counselor, I'm going to tell them, look, this isn't something that's going to excuse what we're doing. We're still accountable to God for everything that we do and say and think. But it does give me a place to stand and know where I probably need to operate maybe a little more slowly and with more grace and more compassion. Maybe not be as confrontational in that area of their life right at the beginning where you might be in other situations. And so, again, it's information. It informs my grace in practice, and it gives me a place to begin, although I don't let it change the way that I understand the Word of God and seek to apply the Word of God.
And I just wanted to quickly give our email address if anybody listening would like to join the conversation and ask a question of Russell Threet. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question is involving a personal and private matter. And having a biblical counselor on the show obviously lends itself to that being a strong possibility, that you have a serious issue involving the need for counsel, or you have a loved one who does, and it's about an issue that is very personal and private. Please feel free to remain anonymous. We would actually want you to in those cases. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. How do you respond to some of the critics of the way counseling can be conducted, both biblical counselors and so-called Christian counselors, where it seems, at least on the surface, and of course it could be well beyond just seeming like something in many cases, but like you are adding a commercial aspect to the body of Christ, a very clinical aspect where people are filing in, perhaps a church building or perhaps it's a separate building, and paying for counseling services, and it may have a detached feeling, and even more than just a feeling, from the care of a shepherd, if you follow what I'm saying. How do you respond to those who complain about that phenomenon?
Well, I would say, Chris, that that's not my framework for biblical counseling in general. While I do at times have kind of formalized appointments and things like that, number one, a lot of biblical counselors never charge for their services. I don't think there's something wrong with that necessarily. I'll be upfront. I have a contract with a big church out of Florida. I do some counseling for them, and they pay me a small amount to do that. But overall, I look at biblical counseling. Best way to simplify it is I say it's discipleship with a laser focus, right? And a lot of, quote, biblical counseling conversations, and I encourage church members and pastors in this, it's the advice we give one another in the hallways in the parking lot. It's the conversations over coffee. We're all counseling every day, right? So the question is, are we going to be giving godly wisdom and counsel, or are we just kind of giving our own experience, our best advice? And, you know, I think that type of counseling, there are times when there are serious issues and we need to get alone and we need to have some time and appointments over time. And I do that a lot as well. But every Christian is a qualified biblical counselor if they have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, there's sometimes they're going to run into some things where they need some support or they need some training or whatever that situation might look like for them. But we're doing this all of the time. And that's what I tell pastors. That's what this book is really about. It's like, if you're a pastor and you know what biblical discipleship is, we think about discipleship in this broad model of, well, somebody becomes a believer and we got to teach them how to study their Bible and how to have how to pray and how to have a quiet time and what service in the church looks like and outreach and evangelism, all those things. I say, look, the same concepts you use in general discipleship, these are the things that you use in a quote counseling setting. You just zoom them in and you say, okay, here's a particular issue of life we've identified. Here's where you are. Here's where the Word of God says we need to be. And now practically, how do we walk together in order to help you go that direction? Look, we may not get there, right? But we all are moving that direction. And so that's why I tell guys, they say, well, I'm not a counselor. I'm like, you're a pastor. You do discipleship. That's what this is. It's taking the Word of God and seeking to apply it faithfully to the lives of individuals who are dealing with particular issues of life.
But you may have just answered, at least in part, a question from one of our listeners that has come in. And let me see if I could find that question. I was just looking at it. Okay. We have Dean in, and I know I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation of this city, Tahlequah, Oklahoma. I hope I'm...
Tahlequah.
Oh, so you know the city. Tahlequah?
Tahlequah.
Tahlequah, okay.
I think I'm getting it right. He may say I'm wrong.
Okay, and Dean says, I know that most evangelical Protestant Christians are supposed to believe in the concept known as sola scriptura, that only the inerrant God-breathed word is binding upon the hearts, minds, souls, and activities of the body of Christ. And I was just curious, why is it that when we read through 1 Timothy 3, we have these qualifications for an elder? Therefore, an elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, stable, sensible, respectable, hospitable to strangers, and teachable. He must not drink excessively or be a violent person, but instead be gentle. He must not be argumentative or love money. He must manage his own family well and have children who are submissive and respectful in every way. For if a man does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert so that he won't become arrogant and fall into the devil's condemnation. He must be well thought of by outsiders so he doesn't fall into disgrace and the trap set for him by the devil. And the other passage that is very similar in Titus also, interestingly, never mentions equipped to counsel. I was just curious why you believe, as your title states, a pastor must be a counselor. That's a fair question.
That's a fair question. I think it's a good question. I would say that elders are commanded to be able to teach. And elsewhere, Peter speaks and says that we are to shepherd the flock of God that are among you. Right. And so able to teach, obviously, we generally associate that with the public ministry of the word. But I think if you look at what Peter says, shepherding the flock of God that are among you, or even if you look at Paul's example of how he ministered, we see that that's not simply the public setting, right? Paul in Acts 20, he said, you know, that he taught publicly and from house to house. And so I'm not adding a pastoral qualification here. I'm saying that counseling, and that's the modern word that we use, but it's a form of teaching within the lives of those that you're given authority and given oversight of. You're going to them and you're ministering the word of God to them in a more private setting. Like I said, Paul did that publicly and he did it house to house. What was he doing? He was going and he was. Was he just having Bible study or was he helping people deal with issues of life? I think if we look at his letters, we would say, well, he wasn't just teaching theology in his letters. He was dealing with issues. Right? And so I think he's doing the same thing in his ministry. And again, you know, Peter's admonition to shepherd the flock of God, that's shepherding is it's a public thing, right? A shepherd deals with the whole flock, but the shepherd also at times has to minister to those who are sick and who are wandering and who have particular needs. And so, again, I'm not trying to add a separate pastoral qualification. I know that title's a little bit in your face, and I did that on purpose. But I think it's because we have set a piece of the function of the shepherd, pastor, teacher to the side. We've said it's only this public ministry that I'm required to do that, and the private matters I'm not qualified. So that's a good question.
Yes, and in fact, if an important aspect of a biblically functioning church is discipline, how on earth can you discipline someone without counseling them? Right. It doesn't even make any sense to think that you could.
You can't separate. You can't separate them. And you know, Don, when Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" The answer. If you love me, then feed my lambs. If you love me, then shepherd my sheep. So there's no separation. You know, it's almost like it reminds me a little bit of was it R.C. Sproul? Everyone's a theologian.
By the way, it's Sproul.
Sproul. Everyone's a theologian. It's. Are you going to be a good one or not? Every Christian is called to do this, to counsel. Every Christian's called to read the Bible and disciple and to be involved in these things. Are you going to be good at it, or are you going to, when somebody has a serious problem, are you going to turn your back on them?
And by the way, folks, in case you didn't detect the voice change, that last speaker was Pastor Jason Contino. And we are going to our first commercial break. And if anybody else would like to join the conversation with a question, we do have another listener waiting to have his comment responded to. It's not a question, it's a comment. But you can get in line if you would like to join the conversation by submitting your question to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
And praise the Lord, Joseph C. Moorcraft III is home. He's been home for several weeks now from the physical rehabilitation facility where he was recovering from a serious fall in his home months ago that hospitalized him and then eventually led to his requiring physical rehabilitation. He is home and preaching again from his pulpit to the delight of his congregation. And hopefully you'll be hearing him once again as a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He is such a precious and dear friend, and in spite of the tiny size of his congregation, he is one of the largest financial supporters of this program. So let's keep in touch, Pastor Joe, if you're listening. We definitely want you back on the show. If you just tuned us in, we have Russell Threet on today, and Russell is discussing his book, Pastor, You Must Be a Counselor, restoring counseling to the heart of pastoral ministry. And we have a friend of mine who is a pastor in Enola, Pennsylvania. Since I am identifying him as a pastor, I'll give you his full name and the name of his church. He is George Jensen, and he is pastor of the Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania, a dear brother and friend, and I definitely cherish his fellowship in spite of the fact that he has described both of us as him being a plain tea Arminian and me being a black coffee Calvinist. So we do have our differences. Pastor George says, dangerous topic. I don't do counseling. I provide pastoral care based on biblical principles and wisdom. If one who is non-licensed in the area of counseling claims to be a counselor, provides counseling, he is asking for trouble, legally speaking. When people come to me for help, I let them know that I can provide pastoral care, not counseling. If it is someone I don't know outside of our church, I have them sign an affidavit where they indicate they know I am not a counselor, but rather a pastor who provides pastoral care. Maybe this is a tomato-tomato kind of deal, but that's how I operate. Any response to that, Russell Threet?
I would say, maybe the tomato-tomato description is accurate because what I don't do and what other biblical counselors that I know would never do is we don't claim to be licensed professional counselors. Matter of fact, that's all over my counseling website. It's all over paperwork. And I, in fact, also have a piece of paper that's part of kind of an intake. If somebody's going to sit down with like long-term kind of counseling, having appointments, that says, you know, I'm affirming that I know that this is biblical counseling and it's derived solely from the Bible. I'm making no claims of being an LPC licensed with the state. You know, my certifications are all through biblical counseling organizations, things of that nature. That's very clear of what we claim that we are. I think most states have a pretty wide berth for pastoral counseling, religious counseling, even in the statutes. The place where most where things become more tricky or problematic is if there's money involved, you've got to be careful that you're, you know, adhering to the law. Overall, you know, pastoral care, biblical counseling, whatever you want to call it, I'm on board with a brother there. We don't claim to be psychologists or therapists, but I think counselor is a word that, at least in my context, is not one that's problematic. We usually put the prefix of biblical counselor on there, and we're very clear about it.
You have any follow up on that, Pastor Jason?
You're muted, brother.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, he muted himself.
Sorry about that. I muted myself during the commercial.
By the way, you don't have to do that because I mute you.
Okay. Good to know. I think it's important to recognize that shepherding is for sheep. We don't shepherd goats. So when we're talking about pastoral care, biblical counsel, we're talking about something that we are providing to God's flock. And my wife and I are joyfully up to three people who have come to us looking or asking or seeking counsel, who have sat down in my office to speak to us, and we don't move past step one, which is evangelizing them. And until you realize
you're talking about three people from outside of your church.
I am talking about people who came to my church, one from outside my church, one who came to my church from another church, who sat down because he wanted biblical counsel. And the one thing that I was taught in these in the classes is first find out where they stand with Christ. And by asking pointed questions about how they know they're saved, what would God say about their relationship with him? It became evident that they were not saved. And in those conversations, realize the gospel, we're guided to Christ, to a relationship, a life-saving relationship with Christ. And so what looked like biblical counsel from the outside turned into sitting down in a pastor's office, one-on-one evangelism and saved souls. And then we could talk about what God's word says. But first, what does God's word say about you, about him, about his son, about what salvation looks like and about where you're headed without him? And so this is not for the world. If the other question that was brought up before, I don't see a situation where I open up the doors to the world. They're invited to come in and to present their problems to us, but they're going to hear about Christ. And then once they're Christians, they can receive counsel from God's word.
Amen. In fact, I was just reminded of an incident in my life that was rather frustrating, and later on in life, when I had enough time to get over the anger that I felt, I thought I find it today quite humorous. But a major Christian radio station, after having heard of the growing interest in my program, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, they invited me to meet with them and to discuss the possibility of my show being included on their lineup. And the program director sat with me and he said, "Well, you've developed a history of hosting Christian radio. And you've got some experience behind you. I've heard good things about you from the general manager of this station. But I got to be honest with you, I hate your program." He said, "You interview a theologian for 2 hours on your show? Boring. You've got to do what Jay Leno and David Letterman do. You got to have a guest on for 4 minutes. And if he's really fascinating, after your commercial break, you invite him back for another 4 minutes, and then you move on." So I said to him, "So you're comparing what celebrities say on these secular talk shows about the mindless, idiotic experiences they have on the set of a movie or TV show. You're comparing that with truths that involve eternal life. And you think I could just race through these issues?" And he said, "Well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to just take phone calls from our listeners who are predominantly married women with children, 25 to 54 years of age, which is a statistic for Christian radio. And I want you to just talk to them about their everyday problems and challenges in life. Don't use the Bible too much. Don't use theology too much. Just guide them through these issues as best you can." And I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I'm not a pastor. I'm not a biblical counselor." And I said, "If my wife heard that I was giving advice to women, you would be able to hear her laughing all the way in Long Island." This is a meeting in New Jersey I was having. "You could hear my wife on Long Island laughing if I was giving advice to women. Are you kidding me?" So I declined their opportunity. But that's just to say, this is obviously something that must be handled with great seriousness and care and and only qualified people should be involved in it. Of course, you know, your everyday Christian should be equipped with enough biblical knowledge behind them to just privately guide friends, family, and loved ones through a crisis in their life or what have you. But as far as publicizing to people that you are providing counsel and, you know, inviting them to your office or something, that's a different story. Well, let me go to another listener question here. I was just looking at it. Where are you? Okay, Lou in Sharpsburg, Georgia. Hello, brothers. In your guests' experience in dealing with counselees who profess to have post-traumatic stress disorder, is it always the case that they have to some degree PTSD, or is it sometimes a smokescreen to not deal with broader heart sin issues? Thank you. Russell?
You know, PTSD is a very hot button topic, but trauma in general is a hot button word. Even in the biblical counseling world, there's a drift happening within the biblical counseling world, and people out there calling themselves trauma-informed biblical counselors and departing from a sufficiency of scripture framework. But like I said, PTSD, for the most part, just using some military guys, you got to be careful, and here's why I say it may be a little different than your average case, and that as biblical counselors, we don't deny the idea of mental illness is nebulous. Okay, they're just labeling symptoms. All right? I don't agree with that, but a lot of the military men, in particular, that I've dealt with, they have actual physical issues that have happened. They've been blown up by IEDs. That, you know, there's a physical, observable, empirical issue. And so there's that population, right, that has a that type of thing, traumatic brain injury. Again, it doesn't excuse. They're still accountable for their behavior, but that's generally a much slower process. But the idea of PTSD in general as being a smokescreen, I think every label in some sense is and can be a smokescreen where we hide behind it. Well, you know, I'm this, I've got this, I've got that, and that becomes their identity. With PTSD, typically there's issues of worry and fear that are unbiblical that need to be dealt with. They need to process. You know, a lot of times they have high anxiety that's associated with the future because of what's happened to them in the past. And you know, we do our very best to walk with them very compassionately and show them, you know, that, you know, the future is in God's hands, and, you know, the sovereignty of God's a heavy conversation, heavy topic of conversation for people like that. But yeah, it can be a smokescreen for all kinds of issues, because somebody that has a major issue in their past can use that to cover up any present situation where they're just in sin. There's a crazy old Saturday Night Live skit, right, that Chris Farley was in back in the day. I'm showing my heathen roots here, okay? Where he's like at a dinner party, and all of a sudden he just starts screaming, and he's like, "My parents were eaten by a bear," and he starts throwing things around, and people go, "His parents were eaten by a bear," and they're like, "Yeah." He's like, "When did that happen?" And they're like, "I don't know, like, I forget exactly. It was like 15 years ago." And everybody kind of gets this stupid look on their face, like, well, why is he acting like that now? I think in some sense, we can be, we can have fear of man. We can have fear of circumstances instead of trusting God. We can have other heart issues. Maybe that traumatic is somebody sinned against me and I'm walking in unforgiveness. Maybe it's something I brought on myself where I've sinned and it caused whatever situation that's caused all of this stress and in that past situation. And I'm unrepentant. I haven't seen my own place and my own need for repentance in that situation. There's a whole lot of things that can go into we don't ignore that there are real issues that have real impact on people's lives, but we try to point them forward. And that's another thing where they can't live in the past. If there's been repentance, if there's been forgiveness, if God has declared that he's with you and he'll never leave you nor forsake you, how do we live forward from this point without allowing the past to dominate what Christ has commanded us to do?
Okay, let's see. Should we take another one before I go to the midway break?
Sure.
Let's see. All right. We have Kimberly in Belterre, Long Island, New York. Kimberly says, would both of you agree that it is very dangerous for a man to counsel a woman alone or for a female counselor to be involved in counseling men?
Absolutely. We don't do it. Let me say it this way. There are times where I've counseled women individually, but I've always done it where there was someone else, you know, there. I will tell them, hey, you want to bring a trusted friend, family member with you, or if you want me to provide somebody, and I'll even leave the door open and set them outside the door and tell them not to, you know, listen too closely but we're not going to get in a situation where, your character or my character can be impugned, because that's going to cause more problems than the problems you're trying to deal with. And it goes both directions. There are ways to do it where it's safe, but yes, absolutely. That's a standard practice.
Man, a woman should never be involved in counseling a man, right?
Yeah. I mean, the only caveat I would give to that is sometimes I've included like counseling trainees, you know, in sessions where, you know, they can observe the counseling process and they may offer something in the moment, but definitely no. I mean, primarily that's going to be just men with men and women with women is ideal. If you have a good counselor, I trained a female counselor at my previous church and she is a fantastic counselor. And so if I get in a situation where I need a woman counsel, if we have to go the route where they bring someone and I do it, I will. But I like to refer to her. She counsels online because she does a great job. She's very biblical and she's a lay counselor and she probably does 15, 20 hours of counseling a week. She is a machine when it comes to biblical counseling and does a great job.
How about you, Pastor Jason? I know that your wife and you are now trained biblical counselors. How do you handle the counseling issue in regard to the question from Kimberly?
Yeah, so my wife, Christine, has taken some coursework, and she had Russell as a professor as well. She's not as advanced as I am in it, but that's the purpose for her to have begun her studies was to so that I wouldn't be in an uncomfortable situation. So she's if it's over her head, she can triage certainly for me and be there, be at the church with me. And if we're talking to a female, she's the one who interviews them, speaks to them. And if they need the pastor, then they'll both come into the office, my wife and the lady. So yeah, it's just a good practice. We have other women in our church who are a couple biblical counselors and others who are interested in it. So I think what you see is there's churches, just like students, will become most interested in what their instructor is most excited about. And so churches' theology often will reflect the pastor's theology because that's what he's excited to preach about. And you see the same thing. I'm seeing the same thing as we become more focused on that, more excited about that. That's who we attract. And so it's just such a good practice to be able to have. And that's what you should have, a female guiding a female, men guiding men. I mean, that's what we see in Titus, right?
And just to put my two cents in, I'm not a counselor or an elder or even a deacon for that matter, but I do know personally men in pastoral leadership who have fallen sexually and destroyed their callings. And on at least several of these cases, the sexual intimacy began, well, the sexual interest, I should say, began in counseling. And at least a couple of those men only counseled women with the door open, knowing that the female secretary was on the other side of the wall. Didn't matter. The intimacy of the conversations and the attachment that the female counselees began to develop in their hearts, viewing this man, in essence, I don't mean this in a theological sense, but as a savior, as a hero, a rescuer, seeing in the counselor all the attributes that were absent in her husband. And it didn't matter that the door was open, that a secretary was nearby. It still happened. And my friend Jim Eliff in Missouri, his father was a biblical counselor in a very prominent Southern Baptist congregation years ago. And he was counseling women alone. And turns out that he and one of the counselees, female counselees, fell in love, as they say. They both divorced their spouses, and they both married each other. And
I know Jim's brother, Bill.
I'm sorry?
I know Jim's brother, Bill.
Oh, wow. Well, it would have been his dad, too. And I'm not saying anything that was a private thing. Jim Eliff boldly preached against men counseling women alone in a sermon, and told the story in a sermon that was available on radio stations and so on. So this isn't—it's not like I'm telling tales out of school or however they phrase it. But anyway, we have to go to our midway break right now. And if you have a question that you would like to ask, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hi.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We
here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide financial support for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every single month automatically, on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives the mind-blowing bonus to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners, simply by those listeners mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. Whether you are purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, like an engagement ring, like turning your church or parachurch ministry logo, your business logo, into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing, head-turning, stunning, breathtaking piece of jewelry. And I have seen firsthand the absolute mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over customizing jewelry. So, whatever the case may be, you're buying something in stock or having something customized, whether it's jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also let us know how pleased you are with your purchase from RoyalDiadem.com. Should you purchase the jewelry from them. Before I return to my guest and co-host today with our fascinating conversation and extremely important one on biblical counseling and the need for that in the pastoral ministry, I have some important reminders for you folks. Please, if you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your local post office to a physical mailing address the old-fashioned way, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm, medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible because we're just as much in need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. And I want to thank again from the bottom of my heart our newest sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Christ the King Reformed Baptist Church in Niles, Illinois. Thank you, Pastor Brandon Myers, for convincing your elders to move forward with the sponsorship of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thank you for believing in me and what I do. Thank you for the encouraging word that you continually provide for me, telling me how much this program means to you. And I am just so thrilled to be able to add Christ the King Reformed Baptist Church of Niles, Illinois, to the advertising family. And we're looking forward to getting your commercials so we can begin airing them as soon as possible, and to interviewing you on the program as well, Pastor Brandon. If anybody, by the way, lives in the Niles, Illinois area, or you have family, friends, and loved ones who do, go to ChristTheKingRBC.org, ChristTheKingRBC.org. But with all this urgent pleading with you to help us financially, I do not want anybody in my audience to ever give your own church, where you're a member, less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. And if you are really struggling personally to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But having said that, if you love the show and you don't want it to go off the air, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, if you love the show and want us to remain in existence, share some of that money with us. Go to IronTrippinsIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like West Park Baptist Church in Ozark, Arkansas, or Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, I have helped people spanning the entire globe find churches in my audience that are biblically faithful, sometimes even within minutes from where they live. I have helped people in all 50 states of the United States, in addition to foreign countries on the African continent, countries like Mexico, countries in the United Kingdom and Germany, in the West Indies. I could go on and on with the number of churches. I believe there's at least 28 foreign nations that I have helped listeners living in those parts of the world find biblically faithful churches. So that could be you, too. If you are without a church home, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Russell Threet on biblical counseling. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have a listener. He's from a city in Arkansas that sounds like it should have been founded by you, Russell Threet. It's Russellville. And
it's about 40 miles from me.
Wow. Wow.
We're planting a church there.
Really? Well, Ben in Russellville, Arkansas, maybe you'll want to check out that church when they plant it in Russellville. But Ben says, can you be more detailed on how different biblical counseling is from your average run-of-the-mill counseling that takes place in many evangelical churches?
Well, when he talks about run-of-the-mill counseling, I don't know if he's referencing you know, just general pastoral counseling, or if he's talking about, you know, the idea of Christian integrated counseling. Yeah, and I would say, you know, if it's, if by run of the mill, he means like pastoral counseling, you know, if it's biblical, then I say we're on the same page, right? That we're talking about similar things. A lot of times that pastoral counseling might be a little bit more informal. And like I said before, a lot of biblical counseling is that. It's very informal. And we all have a role in providing that to one another, admonishing one another, correcting one another, rebuking one another, loving and caring for one another, all of those things that Christ commands us to do. But if he's talking about Christian counseling, you know, the big differentiators are really the sufficiency of Scripture that, and even in our advice, even in our pastoral counseling, we can get away from that and it can just be situational. You know, we're wanting to point people to the hope of Christ, to the commands of Christ, and to the things that can really provide that transformation. You know, that's what we're looking for. The gospel itself is transformative, both in salvation and in sanctification. And so, you know, if what we're getting is just, you know, backdoor advice at the church that's, oh, no, you know, you really ought to try this breathing technique, or you really ought to do this. You know, we're giving people kind of pop psychology, which can happen a lot in churches. The main difference is that it's not coming from a place of pointing people to God's established truth and saying, look, you know, God actually has something to say in this area of your life. Yeah, I may have some personal experience that speaks to that. And just like in preaching, I can use some of that sometimes to illustrate some things of maybe how I've lived it out, either rightly or wrongly. But what it boils down to are the things that are being shared in a counseling setting, whether formal or informal, are they clearly tied to the biblical wisdom, or are they just a best attempt at decent advice? You know, I'm a practical guy. I like to give practical advice, but the most practical thing we can do is point people to the thing that actually works and transforms and changes hearts and lives.
Thank you, Ben, in Russellville, Arkansas. Let's see here. We have... I was just looking at a listener question. Melton in Jupiter, Florida. And Melton says, I have heard from Christians who either support a genre of Christian counseling that would not be in the biblical counseling model, such as that which was espoused by the late Jay Adams. They try to defend their own brand of Christian counseling with the phrase, all truth is God's truth. And therefore, they borrow very often heavily from the secular realm of psychology and other sources that are not biblical, because they say it doesn't conflict with the Bible, and the Bible doesn't clearly condemn a certain method, etc. How do you respond to that all truth is God truth response?
Well, I would agree that all truth is God's truth, right? But I would say that not only is the Bible itself truth in its fairest form, it's also the standard by which we judge all other supposed truth. And so I don't believe that someone that advocates for any psychological model could take the foundational basic tenets of that and set it side by side with the biblical wisdom and record and say that it does not violate it, right? They may say, well, the Bible doesn't say you can't do this. Well, okay, the Bible doesn't explicitly say it, but if you say, well, I'm going to do this thing, or I'm going to offer this advice, flowing from this worldly wisdom or this secular model, and we set that truth next to God's truth, you're going to find in many, if not most, situations where it actually doesn't hold up to the standard of God's truth. And so while there's a lot of things in the world, there are a lot of things in the world that are true, if they're compared with the biblical wisdom, with what God has said, and they don't hold up, right? They in fact go against in many cases, then we have to say, yeah, all truth is God's truth, but that's not true.
Correct.
Right? Because it's the standard.
Now, can you highlight things that are true that are typical in secular counseling that may lead people, even Christians, to think they're in safe hands under a secular non-Christian counselor because some of what they are utilizing in their counseling sessions have to do with actual differences between men and women and, you know, the kinds of things that might be under the umbrella of common sense, and why that isn't sufficient just to go by those kinds of guidelines.
I mean, specifically you're saying things that would go that are reasonable, not unbiblical.
That are common things and you know, yeah. Many counseling.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, like Jason had said earlier, you know, I think there's good people and even godly people within the realms of these different professions. And there is a lot of true compassion and care. There's even love there where they are seeking to walk with this person with really good intentions. There, you know, there's some things even, you know, some of the secular psychology has even come out in recent years, and they're even beginning to debunk some of their own previous, you know, kind of foundational truths. And they're saying things like, you know, you got to get out and move and get in the sunshine and, you know, exercise is actually, just as effective, if not more than effective than antidepressant drugs. And, you know, so there are some things there that I would never sit here and tell you that people haven't gone to a counselor, a therapist, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and they've been practically helped. Okay. I think that happens. But I would say it's not transformation. A lot of times there's replacement behavior there, that leads us in other directions, but also a lot of times it doesn't last. We end up in worse shape than when we started because there's no true transformation. Like I said, there are good godly people that are giving of themselves. I think that's the thing that's attracted to it. It's the relational aspect. And so that may be a biggest piece of it, that relational aspect, that intimacy that can be built in that counseling setting. That's probably the most attractive thing to the average person, is that there's somebody that's caring for them, listening to them. I think that's something that we need to do better in the church, is we need to care enough about people to spend time with them and listen to them and show practical care for them.
Yeah, somebody who pops into my head that I always had a mixed reaction to him. Sometimes he was right on the money, and sometimes he was way off, and that was the late James Dobson.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I would hear him on the radio and he was just really, giving a good word and wise counsel and so on. But then he was coming from left field, obviously, championed the false ideology of self-esteem.
Yeah.
And
he was the self-esteem guy.
Right. And that must be an issue that comes up. I'm talking about the sin of self-esteem. that comes up in marital conflicts a lot, because you have both people demanding that they are right and all the things that the conflicts arise from. And of course, I'm not saying that people who claim that they hate themselves and they're always, as Saturday Night Live made famous, a Debbie Downer, that is actually an example of self-absorption, even if it is manifest as self-loathing. It's because you're consumed with yourself. You're constantly thinking about yourself.
One of my mentors called it navel gazing. We're always looking at us instead of looking at Christ, or we're looking at others.
But doesn't that self-esteem, that false teaching of self-esteem, give birth to so many problems in our lives?
Right. Man, it does. You know, so many people want it. It goes into so many areas. But, you know, I try to tell people, you know, Paul says you don't need to think more of yourself. Don't think more of yourself than you ought. Right. And that's twofold. I think that's amount of time. And also don't put yourself higher than you are. Instead, think soberly, he says. And so I think it goes all over the place. I tell people, you know, we don't need self-esteem. We need God esteem. We need a deeper dependence on Christ more and more and more. We need to look for what we need outside of ourselves in him. It's an identity problem. If our identity is about us and self-esteem, we're always going to end up in trouble. Our identity needs to be rooted in Christ and dependent on him. And in that, the most holy people that I know, that when they have drawn so near to the Lord, they don't repent less because they're holy. They repent more because they're closer to Christ and they're seeing more and more of who they truly are in the light of who he is in his word.
And before we go to our final break, Pastor Jason Contino, do you care to add anything to that, or even ask a question of your own?
I think, there's a few things going on here. I think the secular world can certainly diagnose things and they can certainly see problems, but they're taking an issue and they're identifying that issue and they're looking to fix the issue, where with biblical counsel, it's recognizing that we don't have a moving target. We don't have a person's ego. We don't have a person's symptoms. We have a heart condition problem, where we have these symptoms stemming out of losing sight of who God is and who we are. We're depraved, he's sovereign, and we are choosing to turn from him and to play with idols. We criticize the Old Testament people who actually took a piece of wood and cooked with it and cooked their food with it and heated their home with it, and then they would carve it and they would worship it. But we'll take things out of our pocket, like our phone, and look at images or text somebody, and that the pleasure that we receive from these things, whether it's alcohol or drugs or these relationships that we shouldn't be involved in, and that becomes our idol, and we ask Jesus, just wait over there for a minute. When the biblical counselor is looking at these issues that come out and they present in different symptoms, and they're looking to bring the person back to this proper relationship with God, which almost always seems to be what stems from the issue. And the other part of this crapshoot, when we are dealing with these counselors, and it was something I saw often as a detective, was just how often a psychologist or a psychiatrist, the expert in his or her field, would come into the courtroom and would testify about what was going on with the person. And then the state would turn around and find that person's professor and bring them into the courtroom. And they would testify the exact opposite. The exact opposite of what motivated this person in this crime. And you could ask them, do you agree on anything? And they'll say, no, we don't. So of course you don't, because you're in the business of analyzing people's responses to things and these symptoms that arise from that not being aligned with God, where in pastoral care, in biblical care, in biblical counsel, whatever terminology you want to use, you have What is guiding is something that is immutable, something that's not changing, something that is not going to pass away, God and his word.
And we have to go to our final break. Don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
And don't forget, folks, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend since 1991 and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, if you're a man in ministry leadership, I want to remind you that you are invited to my next biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. And this is going to be held on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring for the very first time as a keynote speaker, Dr. David A. Harrell, who is pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Jolton, Tennessee, and he's the author of a number of books. His keynote address will be on the theme of one of his book titles, which is Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. Everything is free at my luncheons. Not only is your admission and your lunch for free, but every man in attendance will receive one and possibly two heavy sacks of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. If you'd like to join me on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ for the free pastor's luncheon, please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon on the subject line. Please make sure you give me your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question before we run out of time for Russell Threet on biblical counseling. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And by the way, Pastor Jason Contino, I know that you have been to a number of my pastor's luncheons. Care to share anything about your experiences that might whet the appetite of our listeners who haven't attended yet?
It's something I will not miss. Twice a year, I plan on getting there, getting my books, running into my friends, connecting with brothers, and the guests are always fascinating, whether it's Joe Beakey or Joe Boot or Jason Lyle. I mean, it's just,
Conrad Mbewe.
Conrad Mbewe and James White. I mean, it could just go down the list, and looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Let's see. We have Jack in Pella, Iowa, and Jack asks, do either of your guests agree with Jay Adams on forgiveness? It seems that most Christians that I've heard explain their opinions on believe that Christians are obligated to extend forgiveness to every human being that sins against them, whereas Dr. Adams taught that we are only to forgive people who demonstrate repentance. And while reserving forgiveness only towards those who demonstrate repentance, we are still to love and pray for and do good to our enemies, but that is not the same thing as forgiveness, even though forgiveness involves those things. Yes, that's a very good question, and it does divide the body of Christ. I also want to strongly recommend someone who agrees with Jay Adams on a lot of issues regarding forgiveness. That's Chris Braunz. I've had him on the show a number of times. He has a book called Unpacking Forgiveness, which is outstanding. But what are your thoughts, Russell Threet,
I would say that I would agree with Dr. Adams. I think that the command in Scripture is to forgive as we have been forgiven in Christ Jesus.
Right.
That's the command, and then that's transactional. Right? There's repentance offered through the power of the Spirit. We're forgiven. But I probably use different vocabulary. Okay, and so what I say is that there's that transactional forgiveness where repentance is offered, forgiveness is granted, and that wipes the slate clean. But I also use the language of what I call attitudinal forgiveness. And here's how I would describe that. Every Christian who's been sinned against is obligated to be at a point with a given situation or a given person that if that person was to walk in the door right now and offer repentance, that it would be granted to them. So I would say that that's attitudinal forgiveness, where I'm not bitter, I'm not angry, I'm not holding it against that person. I'm praying for them. Right, there hasn't been full restoration, maybe of relationship, because repentance hasn't been offered. But my heart is in a state of forgiveness, even though that forgiveness hasn't been transacted. And while it's, you know, unforgiveness is not holding me back in my Christian walk, but that person is not receiving the benefit because they're walking in unrepentance. And so I frame that as like full forgiveness or transactional forgiveness versus attitudinal forgiveness that I am offering. You know, and some will use the example of Christ on the cross, you know, forgive them, they know not what they do. But in the same way Christ was offering that forgiveness, he was in that position of forgiveness. But those people weren't forgiven until they cried out to God for that forgiveness.
And he also, Christ was asking the Father to forgive them. He did not say, I forgive you. Right. And he used an explanation. They know not what they do. And of course, Chris Braun's rightly pointed out that we are not to be record keepers of everybody's every failure in what they say and do, and we're going to get our feelings hurt, and we're not supposed to be, as the scriptures tell us in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we're not to keep records of wrongs, and so therefore we got to be careful not to be anal retentive nitpickers when it comes to that.
And, you know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. There are certain things that we allow to just go under the banner of grace.
Amen.
You know, so but there's some caveats there, but
right.
Yeah, I would agree with
yeah,
that.
And like, we're also not to be putting other people in danger by being cavalier about the serious sins of others that could be destructive to not only ourselves, but to others. I got time for one more question from an anonymous listener. I've heard that biblical counselors, also known as nouthetic counselors, are too overly opposed to medication for depression and other mental issues. What are your thoughts?
I deal with the issue of medication very carefully. I never tell anybody to get off medication. I never tell anybody to get on it. If somebody's on medication and they ask me the question, and they say, I want to get off this medication, I tell them they need to talk to their doctor, and then we will help them walk through that process. I would say that the vast majority of people out there that are receiving medication are, and a lot of them get it in a 15-minute conversation with their doctor, and that's all that's ever done, and then it's just adjusted forever from there on out. Medication in general masks problems in this field, and we don't truly know a lot about the nature of how a lot of these medications work, and so I would be very, very cautious, but I don't recommend for or against. That's not my lane. I would tell people they need to personally be very, very careful in how they approach that issue, because We're just now starting to see and understand some of the problems that have come with the long-term use of some of these drugs. And so we need to be very discerning.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your websites. First of all, West Park Baptist Church in Ozark, Arkansas is westparkozark.org, westparkozark.org. Forge Theological Seminary can be found at forge.education, forge.education, and Harborview Christian Church can be found at harborviewchristian.church. That's Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, harborviewchristian.church. I want to thank both of you for doing such superb jobs today. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.